Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Posts, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Just rolled into a new town and a new state, working our way, let's see, north and west, kind of, and lining up for some events this weekend. Wanted to bring you a teaching today. Ready for this title? The Miracle of God's Wrath. The Miracle of God's Wrath. Yeah, let's ponder this topic. Most people think about miracles as good, desirable things like healings, blessings, things like that. Kind of like this, John 6:2. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So Jesus healing people. And they were saying these were miracles, and they were looked at as a good and positive and desirable thing. But I want to kind of pose a little bit of a juxtaposition on you here. Maybe you've pondered this, maybe you haven't. Have you ever pondered that all of God's supernatural power, even his wrath, they're actually considered miracles as well? Think about that. I know I've pondered this from time to time, and recently a brother emailed me and talked about it, and I said, I want to do a teaching on that. And so let's explore it together. The miracle of God's wrath. Now, the first thing I want to start off with is a mindset of someone in authority, like God, the ultimate authority. But let's think about an authority here on earth that we all can appreciate, a police officer. I always like to use this analogy. Police officer has to have two natures to be a good police officer, to be effective police officer. Most times, he's dealing with people. He's kind, he's peaceable, he's gentle. And then there's those times when criminals appear and the policeman has to be full of wrath, fierce, seek justice, have power and force. Yeah, he's got two different characters, two different natures, a goodness and a severity. Remember that. We're going to get to a Bible verse on that in just a minute. What kind of police officer would he be if he didn't have goodness and severity? I think street preachers need to have that. Teachers need to have that. Parents need to have that. Believers need to have that. So God is the same way. His goodness and severity, we got to consider that. That's what this teaching's all about. So let's get into it. So when we mentioned the word miracle, like I said, most everybody I know, and probably me in my past, would have said, yeah, it's like doing a good thing, like raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, and those were indeed all mighty miracles. But I think if we understand the context and the real definition of a miracle, both in the Old and the New Testament, what this is going to do, it's going to expand our view of what they really are, who God is, and what his character and nature is. And what it's going to bring about is a reverence for his love and his mercy, as well as a reverence for his wrath and his anger and his justice. Let's look at some verses from the Old Testament that clearly illustrate what I'm talking about and prove my point. Exodus 7:9. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So this word in Hebrew is mofeth, miracle, mofeth. It means a wonder or a sign, right? Doesn't say good or bad. It's a wonder or a sign. Now let's look in the New Testament. John 6:14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And that word miracle in Hebrew, excuse me, Greek in the New Testament, is semenion. Semenion, it means supernatural sign and wonder. Same thing. Doesn't mean good or bad. It's just a supernatural sign or a wonder. So Old and New Testament, miracles were signs and wonders, and it doesn't differentiate between the good and the bad. So wrath in anger or a miracle of something good and positive like a healing, same thing. It's a miracle. Have you pondered this? Might be a new concept for some of you. Again, I think the real point of this teaching is that many people, I see it, me and Sister Amen see it when we street preach. Many people have lost their fear of God, their reverence and fear of God. And so the idea of a miracle is always looked upon as a loving God doing a wonderful miracle to do something good for people. That's how they look at God. Now, God does do that, and God is love, but he's more than love. He's also wrath. And so I think it's a good idea to explore both sides, the wrath and the anger, as well as the goodness of God. They tend to say all the time, when I talk to people in the street and we start talking about things, people always tend to say, pastors, teachers, men on the internet, people in the streets, God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. He was fiery and vengeful in the Old Testament, and then he brought grace and mercy in Christ, but then in the New Testament we see later, he's coming back in flaming fire with wrath and vengeance as well. We'll get to the scriptures on that. So scriptures give us proof, as I'm trying to illustrate here, of what I'm saying, that miracles can be both good and to the bad, judgment in a way, and even God's wrath is considered a miracle. Let me give you some more scripture verses. Numbers 14:22. Because of those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. Remember in Egypt? There was good things he did for the Egyptians. Then there was wrath he did on, or excuse me, good things he did for the Israelites. And then there was wrath he poured out onto the Egyptians. Numbers 14 talks about them both as miracles. How about, you need another one, Deuteronomy 11:3, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. There you go. So you can't say the miracles were just the good stuff to Israel. It just says what he did unto Pharaoh. Remember the plagues, killing the firstborn, parting the Red Sea, then drowning all the soldiers. Yeah. So the Bible in the Old Testament is teaching us this, and God's healing and God's wrath are both considered in the Bible miracles. We got to grasp this. We got to get it right. God's joy and God's blessing and also his wrath are considered miracles. So they're called in the Old Testament, they're called miracles, even the ones he poured out on his enemies. How about in the New Testament? Acts 8:13. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. All right, so that's Acts 8. So the wonders and signs that were done. What kind of wonders and signs were done? Well, they were doing miracles. Paul had raised the dead. I don't know if he did up to this point, but that had happened, and healings and casting out some demons. But what does Acts 5:12 show us? And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. What happened right before this? God's wrath killed Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, over one lie, and they called it signs and wonders. Let's look up that word, wonder. In the Greek, it is teres. You know what it means? A miracle. It was a miracle that God killed Ananias and Sapphira, according to the scriptures. Yeah, God's act, judging that couple, was a miracle. And that's really strange to think about, because I was raised thinking miracles are always good and positive and to look forward to. But God's wrath is a miracle, and you don't want to look forward to that, trust me. Even Satan's workings in the last days are going to be miracles. Ready? Revelation 13:14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Miracles, same word. He did miracles. And even God's wrath in the last days, as I've been talking about, is going to be called what? Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with an rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Let's look at that word wrath. What does that mean? Orge in the Greek. Punishment or a supernatural violent act of emotion. What's a miracle? A supernatural act, a power, a force, a move of God, right? Yeah, so even God's judgment is a miracle. Satan's false miracles are miracles. And how about, let's talk about this one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:29 through 31. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What's Paul saying here? People taking the Lord's Supper while they're living in sin, taking it loosely, not taking it serious, not having reverence for God, not having fear, which is the beginning of wisdom. That word sleep in the Greek, kaimeo, it means to die. Yeah. So what this tells us is God, the Father, was killing people, leading to their damnation over their sin, about how they were taking the Lord's Supper. It's another supernatural act, a wonder, a miracle. Yeah. The killing of people like Ananias and Sapphira, are these people taking the Lord's Supper in vain? Or doing healings as Jesus did, or casting out demons, or feeding 5,000. Their wonders, their miracles, could be wrath. Yeah, we see that all over Scripture. I recall this point I think I should make here. Not long ago, I was doing a teaching, and I knew this. I knew this. But this really grasped me. I grew up as a farm, watching people harvest things. I realized the great harvest that's coming. Jesus talked about the harvest is great. And I always thought about, well, there's going to only be few harvested, a puny few. How can the harvest be great? And then as I studied this and I did teachings on it, you know what I found out? Most of the harvest, there's going to be a great harvest. Most of the harvest is chaff. Stuff that's going to be thrown away and burned up. That would be the goats of the world. And the small part of the harvest that is the worthwhile part, the elect, the saints of God, the few, that's like the grain. Do you ever see a combine go through a field? That plant has a little tiny bit of grain on it and a whole bunch of stalk and leaves that gets chewed up, spit out the back, then either plowed under for fertilizer or gathered up and used for bedding or burned. Yeah, think about that. The harvest is going to be great, but most of it's going to be chaff. What a fearful thing to think about. This great day of wrath that's coming in God's harvest when he goes out to gather his elect and then he harvests the whole world, plunges the sickle into the earth and does this great harvest. It's going to be a miracle. Most of it's going to be wrath against those who have opposed God. And the miracle's going to be his saints that are born again by the Spirit. I want you to be that. I want to be that. Let's strive in that. So ponder that. The harvest is going to pull in the few, the elect, which is the wheat or the corn. And the chaff is going to be burned up or buried. That's going to be most of it. It's going to be another miracle, a wonder, a supernatural act. So by God's miracles, he saves his people via the gospel, Christ's death, burial, resurrection, your repentance to it, new life by the Spirit, holiness and obedience as fruit and enduring in the faith, or he damns souls when they reject him. It's our choice. Yeah, we can have either one. Actually, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose, and then he just carries out what our will has chosen. Ponder that one too. Now, you may say, and I kind of covered this a little bit in the beginning, well, why does this really matter? You're kind of picking at gnats here. Miracles, wonder, wrath. What does it matter? I say it matters a lot as a street preacher, because as I said, people today, especially in America that I see, where I live, where I preach, they don't have a fear of God. They don't fear God at all. Hundreds of people be standing there, and I'll ask, who fears God? And maybe a 10-year-old boy, and maybe a housewife. That's it. These easy-believe gospels and itchy-eared preachers and Satan and the culture has got people either not believing in God or believing in a God that's all love and hugs and cushy, gushy theology. Not one to be feared. What's the beginning of wisdom? I think this is a very important topic, because the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Yeah. You can't fear? You can't have wisdom if you don't fear. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. You're not going to have very good understanding unless you have a knowledge of this holy God. So in order, so I think these teachings matter, this teaching matters, especially on this topic. In order to properly fear God, we got to consider both. Remember, I talked about in the beginning, his goodness and his severity, his miracles and his wrath, that are really the same exact type of thing, a supernatural wonder, power, force, act. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Remember the police officer I told you about in the beginning? He's got a good side. He's got the legal side. He'll take a bad guy down. I deal with police every day in the street. I know that well. The severity of God on them which fell severity, but on thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou should be cut off. See there? You got to continue in God's goodness. Yeah, that's endurance. Doesn't just come automatic. Jesus doesn't do it all for you. We're in a blood covenant. Your will matters. Your striving, your works. I'm going through James verse by verse. Just finished chapter 2. Your works justify your faith. Go look up that verse by verse teaching. So a good point to remember in all of this. It's good to look to God as the doer of good things. I'm not saying we shouldn't. Those are genuinely miracles. And he takes care of his children. And he gives us life and breath. And he brings babies into the world. And he does miracles. And he can heal. And he meets needs. And he feeds. And he gets jobs for people. And he provides. And he raised the dead in Christ, who gives us salvation. Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation. Praise God for that. Those are true miracles, not to demean them, but to most people, they have a problem thinking about a God that does miracles that also include wrath and destruction. I think that because of the churchianity systems, people have a corrupt, unbiblical, unbalanced view of God. I know all of my family, friends, and people I know did have that or do have that. They don't fear God, and they don't realize, because they have this, oh, God's there like a big vending machine to give me whatever I want and fill up my life with goodness. They don't realize God can take his miracles for good, like giving you a new heart, making you a new creation. And he can also turn that into his wrath and destruction when you rebel and he sentenced you to hell away from him in weeping and gnashing of teeth. Either one is a miracle, supernatural act of God. You see my point? Ultimately, if you rebel against God, your destination is hell, the place that was designed for Satan and his minions. But you don't have to go there if you'll respect the goodness and severity of God and work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul said, and flee from the wrath of God that's coming. I preach all the time in the streets. Flee from the wrath of God that's coming. Don't stand there thinking Jesus did everything. Jesus did what you need. Now run to it and obey it. Repent to it. Strive in it. Make sense? That's what the Word of God says. 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wow. The righteous, scarcely saved. All these people think, Jesus did all these miracles. I got my get out of hell card in my back pocket. I'm going to make it to heaven no matter what. I can sin all I want, or I'm going to sin a lot. Jesus did it for me. No, Peter says the righteous should be humble. Didn't Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the signs of his people should be humbleness, meekness, lowliness, not arrogance and pride, like I'm going to heaven. You know, I get so tired of hearing this. Ready? I witness to people. I know I'm going to heaven no matter what. They have this pride and this arrogance and this pompous nature that they're going to heaven no matter what, because they have this false Jesus that they think is going to take them into the kingdom no matter how they live because of what he's done. The Bible doesn't teach that at all right? Not at all. So we got to consider both his wrath and his goodness are both miracles, are they not? Heaven or hell, both miracles. I hope this is a wake-up call for us, most people that don't know this, to realize the miracle in the last days. Let's talk about this. The miracles in the last days will be what? Ready? False signs by Satan and the Antichrist, and God's wrath and judgment and damnation in the lake of fire. Mostly that. I'm sure there'll be some miracles that God will do for his people. There's going to probably be, you know, the spirit moving, all of that. But most of it's going to be Satan's false signs and wonders and God's wrath and judgment, damnation into the lake of fire. That's what's going to happen in the end. That's what's coming. So it's good for us to ponder this. Making men born from above, born again by his spirit, that's a miracle. Or casting people into hell because of his wrath, that's a miracle as well. A supernatural, powerful act of God. That's what they are. Both of them are supernatural miracles. And God will do what he needs to do based on what? Man's will. Yep. Choose him or not. Walk in his ways or not. Which one's it going to be? The Lord graciously gives us that choice to become a miracle of new birth. It's a glorious thing. I have it. Sister Amma has it. Saints we know have it. Very few people I know have it by their fruit. Just as the Bible says, few. And then he also willingly gives us judgment and death when we're rebellious. But he does not want any to perish. 2 Peter 3:8. God does not want any to perish. Okay? So consider all this. Judgment is miracles, just like salvation is a miracle. And they're coming to the world in these last days. Ready? Can I prove it to you here? 2 Thessalonians 1:7, 8, and 9. I use this verse all the time. For people that say, oh, Jesus is all love. He's not going to judge. He's not mad. Ready? Paul says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. There's wrath and judgment. That's going to be a miracle. On them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory. Yeah, there's a lot of miracles going on right there. A lot of miracles, judgment and wrath. So let that sink in, saints and seekers, if you're listening. It should help round out in us our love for God and our fear for this thrice holy God. He's holy, holy, holy. And what's that going to do? I'm hoping this teaching, I hope all my teachings do. What's this teaching going to do? It's going to help us to be humble, to be meek, to be contrite, to be repentive, not be puffed up, arrogant, and prideful. I'm a Baptist. I'm proud. I'm going to heaven. I know I am. I'm a good person. I go to church every Sunday. No, God hates the proud. He wants broken people that will lower themselves and then walk in his ways and keep his commandments and keep his ordained scriptures. The word made flesh is Jesus Christ. So ponder that. Hope you have a new view of miracles. Wrap up here. Miracles can be feeding the poor, healing the sick, healing the blind, meeting your needs. Those are miracles. And then when you rebel against God like the world and Satan has done, miracles can also be his wrath poured out when he comes back, sends his son back to take back this earth and vanquish his enemies. It's all miracles of God. I hope you're loving him. I hope you're fearing him. I hope you're honoring him and repenting and obeying the gospel. That's what I got for you today. We love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. All of our resources right there on the website, from the gospel all the way to all the street preaching, to all of the teaching audios, articles, sisters' blogs, street preaching videos, on and on and on, to help you walk in the ways of God so that you can avoid the wrath of God and you can be blessed by the miracle of salvation and new birth. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. We're headed down the gospel road, Lord willing. Got some really good events coming up this weekend if the weather holds and we get good access to preach Christ crucified to this lost and dying world. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. We love you all. God be praised.